You're listening to Project Oncology on ReachMD, and this episode is sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb. Here's your host, Dr. Charles Turk.
This is Project Oncology on ReachMD, and I'm Dr. Charles Turk. Joining me to discuss the evolving role of bispecific antibodies in the treatment of large B-cell lymphoma and their effect on current sequencing paradigms is Dr. Samuel Yamshun. He's the director of the Cellular Therapy Service and an assistant professor of medicine at Weill Cornell Medicine in New York. Dr. Yamshun, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me and looking forward to what I think is an interesting discussion.
Well, to start us off, how would you describe the evolving role of bispecific antibodies in second-line settings today?
Well, I think one thing that's very exciting right now in diffuse large B-cell lymphoma is that we have a lot of different options for patients that seem to be very effective, which is what we care about. We've had CAR T-cells in the second line for a few years, but the bispecifics are kind of new players on the scene in the second line. And what we've seen in the last couple of years have been these bispecific antibody trials in combination with chemotherapy, whether it's true chemotherapy like the glofitamab-Gemox combination or the epcoritamab-Gemox combination, or in combination with an antibody-drug conjugate like the Mosin-Pola study. From what we've seen in these second-line studies of bispecific antibodies is that we do see some impressive efficacy in what can often be somewhat of a difficult patient population to treat, especially for patients who might not be eligible or might not be able to receive CAR T-cell therapy in the second line. And so one thing that I'm always excited about is having more effective options that give us a lot more flexibility in terms of treatment schedule, toxicity profile, patient preferences, and also I think even in terms of thinking about patients who will eventually go on to CAR T-cells gives us a lot more bridging options as well. And so I think that these studies of bispecifics in the second line have been practice changing for me personally.
Now, if we take a look at some of the clinical data driving some of the changes that we've been discussing, epcoritamab showed durable responses in the EPCORE NHL-1 study with a median duration of response of 36.1 months and progression-free survival of 37.3 months. Another option, glofitamab, was approved by the FDA in 2023 and offers a fixed-duration alternative. And the SUNMO phase 3 trial showed a 59% reduction in progression or death with mosunetuzumab combined with polatuzumab vedotin compared to R-Gemox. So with all that being said, what kind of impact are these data having on your approach to second-line treatment?
Yeah, so just a couple of things that I think are kind of important to separate. So one is that the single-agent studies of epcoritamab and glofitamab were for patients with diffuse large B-cell lymphoma who were treated in the third line or greater. And so currently those drugs are approved in the third line, whereas the combination studies, the epcoritamab Gemox study, and then the STARGLO study, glofitamab combined with Gemox as well, were in the second line. And still, when I'm using those two agents, and I typically do them as they were done in the clinical trials, which is combining them with chemo immunotherapy. One advantage that it gives is that I think we all agree that the bispecific is the drug that's doing the heavy lifting, but the chemotherapy is actually very helpful in the very beginning to get patients over the hump while the bispecific antibodies are ramping up. So it almost allows you to debulk with the chemo while the bispecifics are getting ramped up. And then later on, the bispecifics are the ones that are doing the heavy lifting. But what that often will allow us to do is actually potentially even drop the chemotherapy portion and stick with just the bispecific based on those results.
And from a pharmacologic or biologic perspective, how might bispecifics outperform CAR T-cell therapy in certain patients?
So I think when you go and you look at the survival curves for patients who receive CAR T-cell therapy, CAR T-cell therapy, I think we all agree, is curative intent therapy. But the dynamics of the patients who relapse are very interesting in that diffuse large B-cell lymphoma for patients who get CAR T, the majority of patients respond. And actually, many patients have complete remissions on the first PET scan. And so CAR T has one of the highest overall response rates of in relapse refractory DLBCL of any treatment. And certainly the CR rates are incredibly high as well. But what's interesting is many patients do still relapse, and typically those relapses do occur early. And so patients who relapse with CAR T, the majority actually occur in the first 3 months, and nearly all of them occur in the first year. And so part of that, I think, is related to the T cell dynamics in that those CAR T cells are getting exhausted and then allowing the lymphoma to come back. So one advantage that I think bispecific antibodies could have from a mechanistic perspective and a biologic perspective is that they are a long-term treatment. Even for fixed duration treatments like glofitamab, treatment continues for a year. And then for epcoritamab, which is a continuous treatment, treat to progression, you're continuing to engage those T cells against lymphoma over time, which could, I think, allow the immune system to keep that lymphoma in check. Whereas with CAR T, in theory, if the lymphoma breaks free early, then you end up kind of behind the eight ball.
For those just tuning in, you're listening to Project Oncology on ReachMD. I'm Dr. Charles Turk, and I'm speaking with Dr. Samuel Yamshun about how bispecific antibodies are reshaping the second-line treatment of large B-cell lymphoma. So, Dr. Yamshun, when you're considering whether to use CAR T or bispecifics in the second line setting, how do patient specific factors like comorbidities, access, or institutional readiness shape your decision?
The question of CAR T eligibility is really critical. And the reason why I frame it in that way is that with a disease like diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, it is a curable disease. And so our goal should always be curative intent. And so I always, when I'm evaluating a patient, am trying to prioritize getting them to a cure. And right now, currently, CAR T cells have proven themselves to be curative intent treatment. And while bispecific antibodies are very effective and may well, I think, eventually prove to be curative, we don't yet know that they are curative. And so, because of that, I do, for patients who I can get to CAR T, do kind of try to reach for CAR T as my potential first option. But a lot of patients were not able to do that for. And there are many different reasons why that might be. There are sometimes disease-related reasons. They have very rapidly progressive disease, and we're not able to get insurance authorization in time to collect them, and they need a treatment right now. Other reasons might just be limited caregiver support. Patients do need to be seen every day post-CAR T infusion for the first 1 to 2 weeks, and many centers, that initial 7-day window is still done entirely inpatient. And so there are a lot of potentially social barriers that could prevent someone from going to CAR T in the second line. And then for many centers, slot availability or insurance issues can prevent prompt access to CAR T cell therapy. And so in many of those cases, I am reaching for bispecific antibodies in the second line, even in the patients who I think may be medically eligible for CAR T to try to get their disease under control or potentially even as the primary treatment.
Now, despite their potential benefits, bispecifics, like any treatment option, are not without their challenges. So, what are some of the key safety concerns and any other obstacles that we need to be aware of?
Bispecific antibodies are interesting compared to some of our other treatments in DLBCL in that, like CAR T, they use the immune response against the lymphoma. And so they do have the potential for cytokine release syndrome and neurotoxicity, just like the CAR T cells do. But luckily, the rates of any grade cytokine release syndrome or neurotoxicity, and certainly for high grade cytokine release syndrome and neurotoxicity, are incredibly low. And so these are treatments that are usually safe to be given in the clinic. For some of the bispecifics, one of the step-up doses is recommended to be given inpatient. But for the most part, these are very manageable drugs in the short term. What's interesting is we talked a little bit earlier about the mechanism of continuing to harness those T cells over time. Against the lymphoma, that certainly has a potential mechanistic benefit. But we also find that with the bispecific antibodies, there is a risk of immunosuppression, which, of course, as oncologists, we're very used to our drugs being immunosuppressive. But I find that with the bispecific antibodies, that immunosuppression can be surprisingly severe. And in patients who are on long-term bispecific antibodies, I often find that people are getting recurrent upper respiratory infections, potentially even bacterial infections. Our myeloma colleagues, bispecific antibodies, as a blanket rule, give IVIG to everyone. And of course, a different disease, you're targeting plasma cells. But I think that in the lymphoma world, we may be able to learn something from our myeloma colleagues. And since I've started using bispecific antibodies, have had a much lower threshold to reach for IVIG and been much more aggressive about prophylaxis and things like that in these patients than I was at the beginning.
And if we look ahead before we close, Dr. Yamshun, do you see any potential for bispecifics to move even earlier, say to frontline therapy or maintenance strategies?
Definitely. And I think we're all very excited about the potential for bispecific antibodies in the frontline setting in various capacities. There are several trials out there right now of bispecifics plus R-CHOP or plus Pola-R-CHP in the frontline that we're anxiously awaiting the readout of. And some have even actually already been published. There was a mosunetuzumab plus R-CHOP backbone study that was published in Blood Advances earlier this year. Another area that I think is very exciting in the frontline setting for patients who might not be able to tolerate anthracycline treatment, we typically, our standard of care has been R-miniCHOP, which is just not as effective as we would like it to be. And so there are some very promising studies of the bispecific antibodies like epcoritamab as a single agent that was presented at ASH last year in at the frontline in anthracycline ineligible patients or in combination. I think definitely we're going to be seeing a lot more of bispecifics in earlier lines over the next few years, as well we should, because I think very effective drugs in the right setting.
Well, as those comments bring us to the end of today's program, I want to thank my guest, Dr. Samuel Yamshan, for joining me to discuss the impact of bispecific antibodies on the current and future treatment of large B-cell lymphoma. Dr. Yamshan, it was great having you on the program.
Thanks for having me.
This episode of Project Oncology was sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb. To access this and other episodes in our series, visit Project Oncology on ReachMD.com, where you can be part of the knowledge. Thanks for listening.